The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we welcome you to the broadcast today. But at this time, I want to welcome everyone on whatever platform you may be listening or watching from, whether it be on YouTube, Rumble, the podcast, through the app, through the main website, or here live on Facebook. Again, we welcome you to the broadcast. And if this is your first time joining us, please let us know in the comment section below that you are watching for the first time and that you're new to the broadcast. And of course, let us know where you guys are joining us from. We'd appreciate that today. So let's get right after this thing, guys. I want to be respectful of your time. I want to talk about five common myths that has circulated over years, especially even in Christian circles, believe it or not. Again, we're going to be expelling or exposing, whichever you want to call this, five common myths that has circulated for years. I've heard these things in one form or fashion over years, and I believe, and the truth of the matter is, guys, we could have probably done 10, 15, or 20. We may even do a series on this, but today we're going to single out five of these, and we may come back on here and do five more or 10 more or whatever the case may be. So let's get after this thing. All right, falsehood number one. Falsehood number one. There's five myths. Falsehood number one. Here it is. How many has heard this? And some of you has been guilty of saying this, and it's absolutely not biblical. Ready? We are all God's children. Now, usually when someone says this, they don't have a relationship with God. They don't have a covenant with God. They've never been born again. And you'll see some politician come out and say this. You'll see some secular Hollywood star, artist, or entertainer, or whatever the case may be. They will say that we are all God's children. But this is simply not true. And I'm going to give you the scriptures. Why are we talking about this thing? Because I'm going to give you the scriptures to defend these, the truths that will expose these myths. So when you hear this myth be quoted, I'm going to give you the ammunition that you need to completely destroy these myths. So number one myth, if you're taking notes, here it is, quote, we are all God's children. This is not true. And I'm going to show you the scriptures. The first one is John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. Here's what it says. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. All right, so that was John 1, 12. Notice he says, as many as received him, those were given the right to become children of God because they believed in him. So right off the bat, if you don't believe in Jesus and you've never received him, you are not a child of God. All right. Let me give you another verse. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. 1 John 3, 1 through 10. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Now, somebody will say, well, look, we're all children of God. Well, let's read on. Therefore, the world does not know us. So notice there's a distinction between us and the world, a distinction between those in covenant with him, those who have a relationship with him, those that are born again, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a distinction between us and them, or the world. He says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So again, you see that there's a connection between knowing him and being identified as a son or a daughter of God or a child of God. Now, listen to this. This is, again, this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commit, now listen to verse 4, ready? Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Verse 6, whoever abides in him. What does that mean, abide in him? Continues in him, walks in him, pursues him, continually, persistently walks in relationship and fellowship with him. Whoever abides in him does not sin. The proper and correct interpretation is whoever abides in him will not desire to sin. They will not desire to practice sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor knows him. Now, does that mean after we're born again that we will never sin again? No. Again, this is why I'm trying, from the Greek of this interpretation, is the proper interpretation is whosoever continues to sin or willfully sins has neither seen him nor knows him. And you guys, you've heard me preach this before, that once you become born again, once you have a covenant with him, your relationship with him, it doesn't mean that you will never fall into sin again. It doesn't mean you won't even succumb to sin. What it means is that even though you may fall, even though you may stumble, even though you may have a weakness or a stronghold in some type of sin, listen to me, here's the key. Once the seed of God is in you, you will no longer have a desire to sin as you once did when you didn't have a covenant with him. The difference is this time when you sin, you will be grieved about it because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will be grieved. He will be quenched and he will be vexed. Come on, somebody. So there's the difference. Listen to this, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who willfully practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And he who continues in sin, or he who sins, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen to verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, or again, proper interpretation is whosoever is born of God will not desire to continue in sin, for his seed remains in him and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Verse 10, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Did you hear? Guys, that was huge right there. So what are we talking about? We're talking about myth number one. We are all children of God. Absolutely not true. Again, those who are born again, who are willfully pursuing a relationship with God, who are pursuing to live righteous living, who are pursuing to live a holy life, a consecrated life, a set apart, sanctified life, these are identified as the children of God. Those who continue in sin, continue in immorality, continue in iniquity, who continue to do the works of Satan, are the sons of the devil. All right. So there's a distinction. So to make the false statement of we are just all God's children is absolutely a falsehood. Romans 9:8. Those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Did you know your Bible says that? That is Romans 9:8. Let me say that again. Those who are the children of the flesh, what does that mean? The word flesh, it doesn't mean flesh and blood, guys. It means the word flesh here is your carnal nature. Those who are the children of the carnal nature. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about this, walking according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life, the sins of the walking according to the course of the world, after the spirit of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air, in whom we all once conducted ourselves and walked accordingly. He says, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Romans 8, 14 and 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Listen, the bottom line is, guys, if you are not born again and born of the Spirit, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. Thus, you are not of God and of the children of God. You are what the Bible calls illegitimate. Listen to this, verse 17. And if we are children of God, then we are heirs, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Galatians 8, 26. For you are, and he's speaking to the church here, the church of Galatia, you are all sons of God. Here's the key: through faith in Jesus Christ. So guys, there's your ammunition to shoot down myth number one, that everyone in the world is children of God. Absolutely not true. So here's what we gather from this. You are not qualified to be a child of God unless you are born again through Jesus Christ. And that leads us to myth number two. Here's myth number two. Ready? How many's heard this? There are many ways or many paths to God, and we don't have to go through Jesus Christ. Guys, listen, that myth has been perpetrated on mainstream media. It's been perpetrated through Hollywood. It's been perpetrated through entertainment industry. It's been even perpetrated in some church circles, believe it or not. This myth, lie, heresy has been propagated that there are many ways to God. There's many paths, and Jesus is not the only way. Well, here is your ammunition to completely destroy that lie. Number one, here it is. Ready? John 14, 6. Jesus said, I, speaking of himself, am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Did you hear that? He didn't say you could go through the gate of Confucius. You can go through the gate of Buddha. You can go through the gate of Islam. You can go through the gate of Catholicism. You can go through the gate of this and that and this and that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father unless he goes through me. Acts 4:12, there is therefore salvation. There is no salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And it's the name of, in Hebrew, Yeshua, in our language, Jesus. All right. Acts 13, 38 through 39. Therefore, let it be known unto you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, everyone who believes is justified for all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And I got another one that I didn't write on here, and it's John 3, 16, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his only begotten son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him may be saved. And then we go to verse 18. For if anyone believes not in him, they are condemned already because they've not believed in the only begotten son of God. And then, of course, 1 John 2:2, and he himself, this is Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. There's only one Savior, one Messiah, one Lord, one King of kings and Lord of lords. His name is Jesus Christ, and there is no other. Falsehood number three. Ready? Again, this one is propagated in secular circles, entertainment industry, Hollywood, and even in some churches that call themselves Christians, denominations, whatever. Ready? Here's falsehood number three. Everyone will make it to heaven regardless of what we believe and how we live our lives. That is a myth. And I want to destroy this. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus is speaking. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go into it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Friend, if everyone was going to make it into heaven, and no matter what we did, how we live our lives and how we got there, we're just all going to make it. Friends, that completely refutes what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, when he said that narrow is the way unto life and there will be few that find it, and wide and broad is the way into destruction, and the multitudes will go into it. Here you go, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Hello. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And by the way, these are not, and there's whole denominations and belief systems out there that will try to tell you that these were, who he's referring to here are sinners and people that never knew God. Well, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And let me prove to you why that is. First of all, sinners, unregenerated people, heathens, those who don't know God, atheists, agnostics, they don't prophesy in Jesus' name. They don't cast out devils and they don't do wonders in his name. These are individuals who started out doing the work of the kingdom. They were casting out devils. They were healing the sick. They were raising the dead. They were prophesying. They were operating in the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. They were operating in these gifts. But then something happened along the way, and they began to practice lawlessness. But don't miss it. Many, many will come and say this and this and this, and they will not make it into heaven. But yet people are still propagating this lie. Well, you know, brother, it don't matter what you do, how you live your life. We're all God's children. Lie number one. Number two, you can do whatever you want to do. You can go through however, whatever gate you want to go through, whatever religion, whatever faith, whatever doctrine, whatever. We're just one day, it don't matter. We're just all going to make it into heaven. Revelation 20, 11 and 15. Revelation 20, 11 and 15. Then I saw a great, this is John the Revelator, said he saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things in which were written in the books, The sea gave up the dead and who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead and who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now listen to verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hello, are you listening? Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, we're just all going to make it into heaven, Brother Ricky, and we're going to sing Kumbaya, and we're going to sit on clouds, and we're going to play harps, and we're just going to float around and have a jolly good time. Wrong. That's not scripture. It's not in the Bible. Falsehood number four. If you're taking notes, here's another one I've heard. Ready? How many people has told you this? Well, you know, brother, it's not God's will for everyone to be saved. You know, it's just God's will. God created some people to go to hell, and that was just his will for them from the day they were born. It's just not God's will for them to be saved. Come on, some of y'all's heard that. Some of y'all's believed that garbage. And this is why you've given up on praying for your loved ones and given up on praying for your coworkers and given up on praying for some people, because they're just ornery and they're mean and they keep doing what they're doing. And the devil has convinced you, and somebody with a false doctrine and some false belief system has come along and corrupted your mind and told you and convinced you that it's just not God's will for everyone to be saved. So therefore, you don't need to give, you just need to give up on praying for them, give up on interceding for them, give up on getting everybody to pray and agree with you that they be saved. Lies, all of it. Ready? Let me just shoot down that lie. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Come on, clean out your ears and listen to what this preacher is going to tell you today. Ready? Number 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Listen to this. But is long-suffering towards us, not willing. I said he's not willing for the back row. He's not willing that any, I said any, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all, somebody say all, should come to repentance. Did you hear that? Listen, I can shut the book right now and call it a day just with 2 Peter 3:9. He's not willing that any should perish, but he wants all to come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, hello. That shoots down predestination, doesn't it? That could be lie. That could be myth number six. We just completely destroyed that right there. Listen to this. Let me give you another verse. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many does God want saved? All. Who does he want saved? All. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. How many? Who? Everyone. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek or for the Gentile. So that includes everybody, Jew, Greek. Come on, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your background, regardless of your age, I don't, listen, all, he desires all to be saved. So that's falsehood number four. Let's recap real quick before I get to the last one. All right, we talked about falsehood number one. We have shown you that we, the world, we're speaking as the whole world, we are not all God's children, but we become a son and daughter of God through belief and believing on Jesus Christ, we enter into his family, we enter into a covenant, we enter into a relationship, and then we are sons of God. That word sons, it also includes daughters, guys, okay? Sons and daughters of God. So that's number one. Number two, we have expelled the myth that there is many paths to God and we don't have to go through Jesus Christ. Absolute heresy. We've shown you and showed you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way unto the Father but through him. Falsehood number three, we have shot down the myth that teaches that everyone is going to make it in heaven regardless of what we believe and how we live. Absolute falsehood. Number four, we've shown you that it is absolutely God's will for everyone to be saved regardless and despite people going around spreading lies and falsehoods that telling people to give up hope and to give up praying for people because some people are just destined to go to hell and they were born to go to hell. That's absolutely ridiculous. You have a free will and I have a free will and we make a decision. All right, here's number five. Now listen, this one is going to really upset some folks because I'm going to tell you, probably most of you can hang with these first four, but I'm going to tell you this last one is really going to upset some folks. Ready? I've heard this propagated for years and years and years in the church, and it's absolutely not true, and I'm going to prove it to you today. Ready? It is God's will for me to stay poor. I have heard Christians say this. It's God's will for me to stay poor. He doesn't want me to prosper. Absolutely false. Now, I'm going to explain myself. Let's get into the verses of Scripture because you can't argue with Scripture because I can give you my opinion and you can just argue with that and you can refute with that, but I'm going to give you straight Bible for it. So if you want to get mad at the Word of God because I'm going to just completely destroy that. Ready? 3 John chapter 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Well, that doesn't mean financial prosperity. Yes, it does. He said all things. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So listen, John covered prospering in everything. Oh, come on, I'm going to make some people mad today, but I'm going to bless the socks off some people today when you get this revelation. God wants you to prosper in all things. He wants you to prosper in your finances. He wants your marriage to prosper. He wants your children to prosper. He wants your relationships to prosper. He wants your finances to prosper. Oh, he wants to bless the works of your hands to prosper. He wants your church to prosper. He wants your business to prosper. And he wants your health to prosper. Can I just throw a bonus on here for number six that I didn't put in here? Let me give you another myth. Well, you know, God wants me to stay sick because it'll give him glory. I shouldn't even went there because I didn't go into this with today and put the scriptures up, but that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And people walk around the church saying that all the time. Well, you know, God wants me sick because it gives him glory, yet they're the first ones to go to the prayer line and want to get prayed for to get healed, and they're the first ones going up to the pharmacy to get medication to try to get healed of the very thing that they're going around telling people that God wants them to remain sick so that he can get the glory. I just want to shake them and say, dummy, if God is getting glory from your infirmity and from your sickness, then why do you want us to pray for you to get healed? Why are you trying to get medication for it to get over it? If he's really getting the glory out of your sickness, why don't you just refuse the prayer line and refuse the medication and just die so then he can get the ultimate glory? Do you see how ridiculous that sounds? Come on. The Bible says for this reason, for this purpose, God, Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, what is the works of the devil? John 10:10. For the thief cometh not for but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, this sounds like that health and wealth gospel. No, it sounds like the Bible. I'm not telling you to go out here Listen, we're talking, God wants to prosper you. Where we get in trouble is when you start to name it and claim it, when you get out of your jurisdiction. Well, can you explain that, Brother Ricky? I sure can. Listen, if you have a job making $30,000 a year and some prosperity preacher tells you to go and buy a $800,000 home, even though you don't have the money, you're not making that much annually to pay for that, you have bills lined up, you don't have any business, come on, going and purchasing an $800,000 home on faith. And I don't care. Listen, you can stand in the yard and you can quote scriptures all day long, but you are out of your jurisdiction. And he said, well, the Holy Ghost told me to do it. Well, listen, if God told you to do that and the Holy Spirit told you to do that, then who in the world am I to tell you not to do it? But I'm trying to tell you, God gives you wisdom. And that is not wisdom. You know how many people has fallen on their face because some prosperity preacher told them, regardless of their bills, regardless of their circumstance, to take all their money and give it to them, and God would bless them accordingly. And I've had the letters, I've had the emails, I've had the messages from people who had these preachers tell them not to pay their mortgage, not to pay their finances, not to pay their bills, but to give all their paycheck to them and that God would bless them. And then I get the emails of people that are now in bankruptcy, or now they're facing delinquencies and they're facing mortgage defaults and all this stuff. Why? Because it's not using wisdom. Am I against you having nice things? No. Is God? No. But God blesses you progressively. Come on, if you're faithful over what is little, God will bless you whether you are little, and he will prosper you, he will elevate you, and he will promote you from going from making you ruler over what is little to making you ruler over what is much. Oh, I'm going to say it anyway. Listen, if you learn to be a faithful tither over what is little, God will see that. He will bless you. He will multiply you. He will prosper you, because he knows if he can entrust you to have a covenant with him over what is little, he will bless you with what is much. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then you don't believe. Go to the parable of the talents, friend. Go read the parable of the talents. You know who was given more? The one who gave more, the one who invested the talent, the one who buried the talent and didn't do anything with it. Even what he had was taken from him. I got to get back to this. Falsehood number 5. God wants me to stay poor. 3 John 2, God wants you to prosper in every area. I believe that with all my heart. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 8:18. Ready? And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Did you hear that? Do you know who gave you the talent that you have to do the job that you do? Thank God for the medical, the medics and the doctors and the nurses. You know, by the way, they were last year's heroes, and this year they're unemployed. That's a whole other message. I don't want to get myself in trouble for that. But nevertheless, we've got people. My own wife is in the nursing field, and I thank God for people like her. I thank God for doctors. I thank God for engineers. I thank God for architects. I thank God for people who work in the electronic industry and work in the retail and this. Why? Because God has gave them gifts and he has given them talents. Watch this. It is God who gave them the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. Come on. You should thank God. I thank God every day for the talent that God's given me, for the wisdom that God has given me, for the gifts that God has given me. God has given me the gift to teach and preach the gospel. I know that. People recognize that. I recognize that on myself. So I remember the Lord, for it's him that's given me the power to make wealth. God, listen, God wants you to provide for your family. He wants you to be, come on, the head and not the tail. He wants you to be above and not beneath. He wants you to lend and not borrow. He wants you to be blessed in the city, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and everything that you lay your hands to do shall prosper. Let me read some more. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, and that I may observe to do according to all that's written in it, the word. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Did you know that's in the Bible? Did you know that the Bible says in Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua that if you will read the word of God, This was in the Old Testament. This was before the New Testament was even compiled. This was under the Torah and the law and the prophets. And he said, if you will meditate on my word, and if you will be obedient to my word, he said, then as a direct result of that, you are going to prosper and you're going to be successful. Well, that sounds like the prosperity gospel. No, it sounds like the Bible, doesn't it? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 34:10. The young lions lack and they suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalms 37:25 and 26. The psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Did you know that God not only wants to bless you, but he wants to bless your children and your children's children? A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Listen to this. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Oh, you ready for this? Who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Isn't it amazing how you got church folk that want to keep you poor, busted, and disgusted, but God says, I find pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Listen, how are you going to be a witness to the world in light and salt if you're always, listen, if you're always sick, you're always in defeat, you can't make ends meet. Oh, come on, I'm ruffling some feathers today, but I'm trying to help some folks today. I'm trying to break these myths off of you. I'm trying to set some people free today and change your mind. Did you know that one of the aspects of the word repent is actually to change the mind or to change your thinking? Some of y'all need to repent for believing these things and propagating these things. Some of y'all has been told by some preacher this, some denomination by this, some tradition by this, some church has taught you this stuff, and it's absolute falsehood. And today, I believe by the power of the word of God that does not return void, but establishes the thing which is sent forth, and the power of the Holy Spirit today, people are going to be set free from these myths, and they are going to be set free from them, and they're going to have victory over these things and watch God begin to move on their behalf, So listen, here's what we're going to do today. Before we close the broadcast, I want to share some information with you, because we realize that all the time that we have new people that come on here, and this may be your first time. So we want to give you the information. Don't go anywhere, because we want to pray with you. But we want to give you some information on to keep up with our ministry. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's our main website. That's where you can find us. That's our landing page. If you've not downloaded our free app, I said it's free, no cost to you. It's available on Android. It's available on Apple. Download that free app. Get it into your hands. If you're watching by Facebook Live today, you're watching by Rumble, you're watching by YouTube, right under the description, right there where you're at, you're going to see a place where it says download free app or free app. There's a link there. Click on that link. Then you can download our free app there. You're going to get push notifications. Hit yes to it. You're going to be notified of our new every time we get a new podcast out, you're going to be notified. You're going to be notified of all of our news headlines, breaking news updates, prophecy updates. All that's going to be right there at your hands. Don't rely on social media networks. For goodness sake, guys, look what happened to Facebook a couple of days ago. It was completely out. And some of you all emailed me and messaged me and said, thank God, Brother Ricky, we had your app, because we kept going. We kept posting news. We kept posting updates. We kept doing our podcast. We didn't rely on Facebook. We just kept on going as business as usual, with or without Facebook or Twitter or any of these things. So this is why we want to encourage you to get the app into your hands if you've not yet done that. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If you've not yet partnered with us, you can do that by praying and asking the Holy Spirit what he would have you to do. Again, it may be a one-time gift or become a monthly partner. Why do we need to do that? Because again, you don't have to listen. You may be watching this and say, well, I can't afford to give anything. Listen, you can continue to keep watching. We want you to be blessed. The Lord spoke to me, said, if you'll feed the sheep, then I will put it on the hearts of those who are blessed, encouraged, informed, equipped. They will be a blessing back. I absolutely believe. Listen, I don't believe in manipulation. I don't believe that we have to twist your arm to support our ministry. I believe that if you are blessed, you're informed, you're equipped. Listen, you know the restaurants that you like to go to, and they don't have to twist your arms to go to your favorite restaurants. You go to them because of their service, because the quality of food, and because you enjoy that. You're going to be a regular. You're going to come and you're going to have no problem supporting those local businesses. I believe that's the same true in ministry. Listen, we're not about pulling people out of church. If you have a church home, praise God. If you don't have a church home, and you live in a place where there is no spirit-filled, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound churches, we welcome you to be a part of our family here. And I believe that according to the Bible, I'm not going to tell you to do something that we don't practice ourselves. Every penny that we get into this ministry, we tithe it out. We give offerings, we give tithes, we support the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphans, all that. So not only are you sowing into this ministry, but you're also sowing the distribution of doing what the gospel said that we should do. So we want to give you that opportunity, and you can give either two ways, electronically, or you can give by check or money order. If you wish to give electronically, you can do it by the app or through the main website. If you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that is in Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And like I said, guys, we want to pray for you. I want to pray today for a couple things. Number one, I want to pray for revelation knowledge. Number two, I want to pray for wisdom. I want to pray for discernment, because I believe if you have revelation, wisdom, and discernment, then guys, it's going to open your eyes, take off the veil, and you're going to be able to see that expelling these myths were just as simple as going to the Word of God and rightfully dividing the Word of truth. But some people, guys, their eyes are blinded by tradition. It's blinded by lies. It's blinded by deception. It's blinded by falsehoods and just ignorance. And that's what we're praying today. So Heavenly Father, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice today, on either watching or listening or both today. You said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given unto him, according to the book of James, chapter 1. Lord, you said in the book of Proverbs that wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm asking that wisdom be released. Lord, that wisdom would be released upon your people today, that you would give people wisdom in their finances, wisdom in their health, wisdom in their relationships, wisdom in their marriages, wisdom in ministry, wisdom in their business, wisdom in every area to operate that, to function in that, and to thrive in those areas. Lord, I'm praying for discernment, that people would have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, that they would be able to rightfully divide the word, that they would be able to try the Spirit to see if they are of God or if they are not. I thank you that you are breaking off falsehoods. You're breaking off deception. You're breaking off lies. You're breaking off myths. You're breaking off traditions of men. You're breaking off these things in Jesus' name today and setting people free in their spirit and in their minds today. And God, I am praying for wisdom. We're praying for discernment, and I'm praying for revelation knowledge. Father, you said in the book of Joel chapter 2 that in the latter days and the last days, you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh. You said that old men and young men alike would be involved. You said men and women would be recipients of this. You said that they would dream and that they would have visions. So I'm asking that you release dreams, revelatory dreams, revelatory visions, that Lord, just like you said in the book of John, that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will not speak of his own accord, but he will speak and say that which he hears from the Father, and he will show us things to come, things of the future, things that have not yet seen, things that we've not yet heard, things that can prepare us, things that can protect us, things that it can help us to properly prepare beforehand. I'm asking that you would do it today, God, on this broadcast. Release it. I thank you that your word will not return void, but it will go forth and it will establish and it will equip and it will prosper in that thing in which it's sent forth to do. And Father, I just thank you today that people are prospering in areas where they have not prospered, where they have been dormant, where they have been in a place where they've not been able to prosper and break out of. Lord, whether it's in their marriage, whether it's in their finances, whether it's in their health, I thank you today as they receive revelation, as they receive discernment, as they receive revelatory knowledge. Lord, through that, they are going to have a breakthrough in all of these areas of their life. And we just thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory, praise, and honor today. And it's in the name of Jesus, all God's people prayed and said amen and amen. God bless you guys. Again, thank you so much for taking the time out today to come onto this broadcast. Guys, today is Wednesday. We're going to take tomorrow off. We're going to be back on here on Friday. Friday's broadcast, we want to give you an update on the supply shortage situation going on. We've got a lot of ground to cover on that. I want to give you some new warnings that are coming out from all kinds of angles, all kinds of perspectives. And then we're going to pray about that because we want to give you a redemptive hope. We want to do all that. So we're going to cover that on Friday. So we'll be off tomorrow and we'll be back on Friday. So until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.